Edge. I will be interviewing John Nichols and Robert McChesney, co-authors of Dollarocracy, a new book on how the money and media election complex is destroying America. Join us from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on November 14th on Voices from the Edge.
KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present The Yes Men Fix the World. Thursday, November 14th at 7 p.m., KBOO will be showing the 2009 indie classic film The Yes Men Fix the World. The Yes Men Fix the World is the true story of two political activists posing as executives of giant corporations. In their thrift store suits, they lie their way into big business conferences and pull off pranks. That's The Yes Men Fix the World, November 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/yesmen2013.
Cheer you up. Tom Waits, one of my favorite accurate musicians. Yeah, okay. Okay, this is KBOO, 90.7 FM dial, Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. 90.7, as I say, you want to be tuned in to us because we are telling you the truth, Ruth. And it's Abe Proctor and Joe Uris, and Abe ain't here, so it's just me. The number to call, 231-8187. But before you start calling, I want to try something different today. I would like to hear only, I want to repeat that word, only from women. Young women, old women, middle age, I don't know, whatever, women. The idea is that I know talk radio is dominated by male voices, frequently by older male voices throughout the world. And I know that there's all kinds of reasons why women are reluctant to call. And I know that, on the other hand, women often have insights, not necessarily different than, but clear as, certainly maybe better occasionally than men. And the topic today is the end of the world. Not with a bang, but a whimper, like T.S. Eliot said. In fact, I am going to talk about a lot of stuff that should scare the living you-know-what out of you. And we'll start with just information you know. The typhoon Haiyan just finished its devastation in the Philippines. Philippines, in case you don't remember, was seized by the United States from Spain in the Spanish-American War. The Filipinos thought they would get democracy, but what they got was anti-guerrilla warfare, torture. Waterboarding, as a matter of fact, started there. And in general, the revolutionary movements were at least in large part broken. We occupied the Philippines until the Japanese, quote-unquote, liberated it with a fiendish evil. And then finally in 1946, we got the Philippines back and they got freedom. Well, they got corrupt governments that ended not at all and have never been well organized. And now comes this monstrous typhoon whipping across the Pacific Ocean and destroying the very, very modest homes of huge numbers of the Philippine people, killing we don't know how many people, hurting we don't know how many people, and destroying we don't know how much property, but a lot. Now, why this is relevant to the end of the world is very simple. The oceans are warming. Sorry, global warming deniers. The oceans are warming. And when you have warm water passing over the air, the storm strength consequent to that is enormous. And this is probably the largest typhoon ever recorded. Typhoon's another word, by the way, for hurricane. Largest ever recorded. So large that if you were to put it over the United States, it would cover from Florida through New England. Think of that. And today and yesterday, it just struck much weakened in Vietnam. Storms like this didn't used to be common. They may be common now. They're part and parcel of a process that we see. We know that the Arctic, which stores vast amounts of methane, is beginning to release that methane. We know that methane, more than CO2, is a greenhouse gas. We know that the great destructions and changes in life on this planet were usually accompanied by similar events. We know a lot about this, but here's something that is kind of an eyewitness report. And I want to read this to you, and I want you to be patient. After that, I'm going to urge women to call. And what I'm hoping you will do is fill us in with more grim data and more urge to action and more concern. There is a stereotypical reason for women to be concerned. They are the producers of future generations. And their lives and the lives of their children are forfeit if we do not change our ways. This is a piece, obscurely enough, from the Newcastle Herald of Australia. Australia has borne the brunt of a lot of global warming, more so than we have in the Northern Hemisphere. Here, I'm going to read this to you. Humans have wrecked the oceans, said Greg Ray, Newcastle yachtsman Ivan McFadden just got back from a sailing trip from Melbourne to Osaka, Japan, and then on to Hawaii and San Francisco. On the same route a decade ago, flocks of birds wheeled around the boat, and fish and whales were plentiful. But in the 10 intervening years, humans have denuded the sea of life. Much of the journey passed through a dead zone. No fish, no birds, hardly a sign of life at all. For nearly 3,000 nautical miles, the only living things were fishermen aboard massive trawlers who were stripping the reef of every fish and keeping only the tuna, killing and dumping everything else. In place of the missing life was garbage, in astounding volume. Some of it, but not all, debris from the 2011 tsunami. By the way, remember that the debris from the tsunami also includes the radioactive releases of the fools who bought American nuclear reactors for Japan and then saw them flood out and explode and leak, continue to leak nuclear radiation, including telephone poles, trucks, factory chimneys, and all kinds of plastic. There were miles upon miles of tangled junk, some of it bobbing, some sunk below the surface. When winds were calm, the yacht couldn't start its motor for fear of entangling the propeller in the massive pieces of rope and cable. McFarlane is frightened by what he saw, shaking his head in stunned disbelief. He has concluded that the ocean is broken. Now, you and I don't see that. We know that there is a similar kind of phenomenon in the Atlantic Ocean. We know this is happening. We know of reports of it, but it's not in our daily lives. It's not discussed on the regular news. It's not part of the dramas we watch on television or the movies we watch in theaters. But it's real, and it's happening very rapidly. 10 years. The signs are there. The warnings are there. It's almost biblical in its power. Almost and beyond, perhaps, biblical, in the sense that this is not some mythic thing. This is not some invention of the human mind. This is the product of human behavior. And this could be the end of the world. Now, what I want, what I'm hoping for, is rays of light as well as rays of doom. I think both are called for. And I'm hoping to hear from women, just from women, for a change in our pattern and pace here on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Will you please make the effort? Those of you men who have good ideas and are very worthy, hold back. Let the women speak. I'll keep talking until everybody becomes so disgusted that they start calling. I'm not planning to talk long, but I can and I will. I'm very, very saddened by what I read. I don't see anything contradictory except Christian rhetoric. And of course, from the perspective of Christian fundamentalism, the more things go downhill, the better it is, because it's going to be end times and, you know, blah, blah, and the you know, all the magical, mystical nonsense that religion seems to foster in the world. And that's why, for example, a lot of Christian fundamentalists are very happy to support Israel in the hope of a great war in the Middle East, because it's predicted in the Bible. And that's why there is a kind of death knell being sung by the far-right Christian fundamentalists, even as scientists, even as ecologists, even as all kinds of people who really care about the planet worry and fret and argue. It's really important, really important. And I have to read something. Merrillhurst University, with 5 part-time MBA programs that combine classic business skills with an emphasis on creative thinking, ethical decision-making, and sound judgment. The hallmarks of a liberal arts perspective. December 5th Evening Information Center, Ascension, details at merrillhurst.edu. Now, I should tell you that this program is made possible by, in part, by KABU Foundation members and grants from Merrillhurst University, 5-time MBA programs. I want to emphasize that, because education may be the key to all of this. I really don't want to do what we do so much. That's nothing wrong with it. But I think my intuition is that we have a lot of women listeners to the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. And my intuition also is that they frequently feel shy, overwhelmed, unprepared, or unwilling to challenge the obstreperous and eager and frequently right, is correct, male voices. So this is an experiment that I'm hoping you will participate in. I chose the topic of environmental doom because, as I said earlier, if anyone has a real reason to want to speak on this subject, it's got to be women. When we talk about the inevitability of wars, when we discuss the expansion of capitalism, when we deal with the destruction of the environment, we are dealing with the things which will be most harsh and most hard on the young and the old. And I believe fervently that women may be the force that will change all that. I don't want to sound sexist. I don't want to make assumptions about women being better or wiser or whatever. But let's see. Let's hear from what women listeners to KBOO have to say. 231-8187. Helen, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe.
Hiya.
Of course women are more wise, and it's hard right now because older men are trying to really suppress women and don't have a lot of respect for them, and it gets very discouraging. I was just in Italy, and my God, they are taking all the fish out of the sea. The fish markets are just with everything you can think of. I mean, much more than here, and nobody thinks about it. They do freeze it afterwards if they don't sell it in a day, but it's just massive. And it's a bit discouraging that they don't think about it. They just think it's going to last forever.
Yeah, I'm afraid the bounty of the sea is something we do take for granted. And of course, the Mediterranean is way fished, way overfished a lot.
Yeah.
And one thing in their favor, they don't throw away all the what we call scrap fish. So you do see in the fish market smaller fish and octopi and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you're right, and I think that's really an important factor in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to start the conversation. Women, call.
Oh, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Helen.
Bye.
231-8187. Now, if you're just tuning in, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. And I'm inviting women, and only women, to call in today, focusing our attention on environmental disaster. I know that many of you have wanted to be on the air, felt crowded out. I also know, and this is my, I don't know whether I want to call this a rational thought or not, but I believe that those who are the producers of the children who make future generations may have a stronger intuitive and perhaps intellectual grasp on the terrible times we are moving into. So I want to hear from you. And who do we have next?
Diana,
you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I really appreciate your creating an opportunity for women to speak because it is frequently, usually not the case. In my microcosm of work and the people that I work with, senior and disabled folks, what I'm aware of is that there are always circumstances where disaster is ready to happen. And one of the things that a wise friend of mine suggested last night is one of the best things that we can do is to step away from the drama triangle. You know, instead of trying to be the rescuer, instead of being the victim, instead of being the persecutors, if we step outside of those relationships in work, in family, in our political lives, then we have an opportunity to actually make some real change.
How do we step out of that? How do we step out of that triangle, though?
Well, we have to first look at the fact that we're doing it, you know, which role am I playing now?
Uh-huh.
And then
say the three roles again, please.
Victim, persecutor, and rescuer.
Okay, know? Thank you.
So if we step aside from them and see that those are roles, they're not reality, but they're roles that we have taken on historically, ongoingly, and to create a new future, what we have to do is step outside those roles and look at what's really going on. And there's real options available to us. And as long as we stay stuck in those roles and those perspectives, then we're not able to see what options are available. There's always an opportunity for cooperation. There's always an opportunity for collaboration. But as long as we stay stuck in those roles, we're going to see somebody as the enemy, somebody as incapable of helping themselves. They're the victim. They need to be rescued. Well, that's not true. That disempowers people. And we don't move forward. We just stay stuck in that, you know, victim, persecutor, hero role that doesn't move forward. It just goes round and round and round. So by coming to awareness about what roles we're playing and the reality that those roles are just that, they're not reality, then we're in a position to bring our awareness to, oh, well, we might be able to work together on this process. Maybe this is not you making a problem for me. Maybe this is an opportunity for us to work together to find a way out of this situation that seems intractable. But it requires stepping out of those roles, and it requires opening our awareness. And I think you're dead on. Education is essential, but it can't be education that has an agenda that says, oh, well, let's see, we need more people who can manipulate people into buying more products. You know, it has to be, you know, pardon me, but I went to school when you were teaching there, and, you know, the idea of a broad liberal education so people can actually do the analysis and not focus their education solely on getting a good paying job so that, you know, they can make more money and, you know, try to keep their family alive, which is essential, but it can't be the only perspective, because we obviously are turning our planet to trash by focusing on, you know, only narrow economic interests.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I want to give others the opportunity to call. I think your perspective is interesting. I will ask you one question, though, and that is, do you feel, or maybe I should say, do you not feel that there are, in fact, at least in terms of short term, real enemies of the environment who are motivated by short term economic goals?
Oh, absolutely. Folks are, you know, the Koch brothers, you know, yeah, absolutely. They are operating in that way. But as long as we continue to operate in that paradigm, we're helping perpetuate it. Now, it's very challenging, and obviously we have to operate collectively. We can't, you know, one-on-one take on the Koch brothers.
Not really.
We have to acknowledge, you know, what they're doing, and act collectively, not as victims of the Koch brothers, not as rescuers of the planet, but as human beings, and acknowledge that we have options that we're not going to be seeing as long as we're playing a role.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
thank
the call.
Thank you. I appreciate the show.
Thank you. All right, 231-8187. We're asking only for women callers for a change. We don't do this a lot, hardly ever, I think. And I think it's important. The issue we're focusing on is what I perceive as the end of the earth as a human environment, and perhaps as an animal's environment. We're talking about ecology and stupid short-term advancements of humankind. And I'm urging women to call. The number is 231-8187. Of course, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. Allison, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. First, I want to say thank you so much for really encouraging women to call. You know, I think you're right that men often have louder, deeper voices.
Yes.
Exactly. So they're more clear and easy to hear. So I really appreciate that. And I think you just brushed by what I really wanted to say, is that often in this conversation, it seems to be forgotten that the environment, the earth, is going to be fine. Like, the environment wins. But what doesn't win is our relationship to the environment and human survival and animal survival in the environment. And I see this every day. You can see it, you know, walking down the street. There are weeds growing up in between the cracks of the sidewalk. And to me, that's a really big microcosmic message that the Earth is going to figure it out, and it knows way more than we do. But what we have to figure out is how to survive in our relationship to it. And right now, there's so much disconnect between knowing that we are animals and we are not just in relationship to the environment, but we are the environment. And I think if that perspective were to shift, if that relationship and role, like your previous caller was talking about, were to shift, there might be more awareness of like, oh, wow, I should really, you know, for minor things, I should really recycle, to, oh, wow, we shouldn't process our food this way, because it's not just going to kill the environment we see around us, but us, ourselves. And, you know, human nature is often selfish. And if we could see it from that perspective, like, oh, wow, we're really harming ourselves and our children and our loved ones and everyone around us, and not just, you know, oh, the tree is sick, oh, the earth is sick, oh, we're stripping the minerals from the earth, then I think people would have a lot more investment in it. So
I thank you. I think you're making a very interesting point, and I'm hoping for more calls. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO, 90.7 FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Today, we're talking about environmental destruction and what can be done about it and how do we see it. And I'm asking only for female callers. This is an unusual, very rare thing for us, but I think it's important. Generally, historically, in talk radio as an industry, men dominate, and the opportunity for women is limited. And women have been, for a variety of reasons, reluctant to make their voices heard on this format. So I'm urging women to call us, 231-8187. Who's next?
Hello?
Frances, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Pretty good.
I have been involved one way or another locally in the social things going on and the political things and the... As a woman, I have oftentimes felt discounted because I'm a woman, and I'm also very soft-spoken, but my points eventually do get heard. And what I am most concerned about, though, is the children, and that has been the case for a long time, you know, from trying to protect my own children from the traps being laid by racial profiling to the children in Iraq who were considered collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up this morning concerned about the people of Libya because I just recently heard that NATO planes bombed the great man-made river that Gaddafi had built to bring water to the people in the coastlines of Libya. And I can't figure out for whatever reason why, other than some kind of profit motive, and to me that's the culprit in everything. Now, I know men who are very concerned about children and what happens to our planet, and I don't think that it's necessarily men. I am very disappointed in women who do become in positions of authority who seem to take on that same macho persona from, what's her name, Madeleine Albright to Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know, it's you're raising an interesting point. I think that it's a dilemma. On the one hand, yeah, we stereotype how we think women are. On the other hand, when they behave in the ways that are frequently required in leadership, we're disappointed. And
because
for some reason
they're not able to assert the womanhood. The caring of, I mean, to me, the priority should be the children. If whatever we do, whatever policies we have, whatever actions we take, harm children, we shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
And then that would mean that we didn't bomb Iraq ever, that we didn't destroy the fabric and the infrastructure and the political power in Libya to where now it's nothing. I don't understand. There's a British Petroleum, if you want to talk about something that is a culprit in this. And it's almost as though all the people who work for British Petroleum are not bad people. But when the primary, there is no conscience. The conscience is short-term profit, period.
Well, I think you're right.
And that has become overpowering, overbearing. We've lost track of what it even means. And people who get money back on their investments are happy, but at what expense?
I think you're right, and I want to give others an opportunity, and I'm really glad you called.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, of course, this is KBOL 90.7, your FM dial here in Portland. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Today, uniquely, we're talking about the environment, and I'm asking only to hear from the voices of women. We don't do that a lot. Maybe we should do it more on the show, but let's just stay with that today. I have an intuitive, and perhaps it's biased, position that it's probably the case that women, you know, this is classically in Greek comedy, Aristophanes wrote Lysistrata, which is a play about women denying sexual favors to their men to force the men to come to the table and negotiate peace. It's a funny play. It was actually the first play done by the Storefront Theater when I was involved with it way back in 1970. Storefront Theater was a theater company that grew actually out of Tom Hill and Ann Garrity, grew out of the horror of the Cambodian invasion and the huge student strikes of 1970. So we do want to hear from you. We want to hear from you particularly because we're looking for women's voices. 231-8187. Sylvia, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Okay, I usually don't call in because I don't talk very well, but in this particular case, I thought maybe I should call. Okay, I'm an old woman, and I only work alone because I'm allergic to all the electronic pollution, and Mother Earth gave me a job a long time ago, and so I work with the water and with the rocks. And the problem, fundamentally, the real situation is we've got a spiritual crisis of unparalleled proportions, okay? She's Mother Earth. She's a living being, but she's being treated like a machine, like an object that can be plundered, that can be raped, that can be... You can do anything and everything to her to extract whatever it is that you want. And that's what's happening. And this is the end of the line. And this thing with what happened in the Philippines is going to continue more and more and more. Because she is in agony. She is convulsing. She's rebelling, she's crying, and she's screaming. And what it takes is a different kind of human being that is going to be in harmony and in alignment with the planet. We're always talking about fix this or fact this or whatever. No, it is a matter of a state of being. It is and these are the things that the original people and the ancient ones, they always knew this. And Mother Earth is talking to me. It happens all the time. I do this 6 days a week. And let me tell you, it's very, very difficult. It's quite something. But if we don't, I don't know, we may just simply keep going extinct. But we have to keep trying. But it's a spiritual crisis. She is a living being. I feel her all the time. I have this contact. I make rock people. And these people, they're physical manifestations of spiritual beings. And they communicate. And I know you don't like that kind of stuff because you talk about rationality and all that, which is fine. Rationality is fine. I have nothing against it, except that it has limitations. And I don't know, you know, it's quite something. So anyway, I just thought I'd say my...
No, I appreciate your points. I don't diss your ideas as much as you might think. I tend to see things in terms of my own biases, which are, I don't know about rational, but are physically based in a modern sense. And I think that the wisdom of humankind exceeds my physical grasp. And I'm really glad you called.
Okay, thank you. It's Mother Earth that she's trying to tell us something.
We should listen.
Yes.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. It's the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. We're talking about the environment, and I'm asking to hear voices of women, only voices of women, just today. Who do we have next? Raquel, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I resonate with a lot of what the women have shared so far, and I'd like to place the consideration out there that it is a matter of spirituality. And spirit, the word inspired means to be in your spirit, to have spirit embodying you. Charisma is to channel that spirit. Now, consider how much we all long for charisma in our politicians or in our local leaders. And I urge everyone to take responsibility for their own state of inspiration. And remember that we are modern. We are having these extraordinary opportunities to use our science and our capacity to communicate through the internet and beyond to show up in radical, inspired presence. That radical, inspired presence is what our ancestors, you know, every single one of us on Earth are here because our ancestors survived the Great Ice Age. We are actually here because we have this capacity in our lineage to channel inspiration. And it's a great disservice to have anyone forget that. And I can't cite his name right now, but this really wonderful Japanese professor made a comment that I saw on Facebook, and he really cited our problems today as a crisis of ethics. Mm-hmm. And that ethics starts in the family. It starts with, first of all, women forgetting they have a voice. Women forgetting that they have the incredible influence to nourish, nurture, and shape their families. I don't really believe that the world is ending. There's some extraordinary wake-up calls. Mother Earth isn't calling. She's already made her call quite aware. And if any of us aren't responding, it's because we're still in a massive state of denial, and we don't have that source within us to be inspired to know how to respond. The balancing of the masculine and the feminine is our work. When we do that, we will find through inspiration the solutions. We all know, like, that peace of mind that comes with peace in the family. This is essential. And I want to say one more thing. This is really just rooted in ancient indigenous structure and the women coming together to counsel. You know, for those who don't have a voice, well, I'm willing to walk out, knock on your door, and hold your hand, and that's what women must do. In relation to the bull run and local issues, we must touch everything we can touch with that integrity, that state of being, that state of calm and knowing what is right. It's right for our children and families and our men. And I guarantee you that if any corporate interest or federally mandated corporate interest comes into great threat of our water, which it is, that the solution would be for every woman to gather around those reservoirs on Mount Tabor and nourish each other and stare the situation down with our feminine grace, because that grace is what inspires that masculine thought, that rational solutioning, and it is the key to our evolution and our adaptation at this time. So I encourage everyone to just stand in their strength, get out, touch whatever you can, because that is how we transform the state of the world right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. All right. This is KBOO 90.7 FM dial, and this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, and we are talking about the environment and the environmental struggles that we face and what I think of as the end of, when I say the end of the world, by the way, I don't mean the end of the planet. I mean the end of the human occupation of the planet. The planet will do just fine without us. But it is an issue for us and for all of humankind. And I am asking only to hear from women just for today. 231-8187. Natalie, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm okay.
I'm calling because it's so interesting that the last caller mentioned water as one of her last points, because I recently got back from Hawaii visiting family. I've been going there since I was maybe, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hawaii as an ecosystem is a really interesting place to use to gauge how we're doing with our relationship with the environment. And it's a beautiful, wonderful place, and it has this connection with the ocean. And I think that our ability to survive starts with the most simple of things, which is water. And it's so simple, but it's so so overlooked right now. And I was walking through the airport, and I couldn't find anywhere to fill up my water bottle.
Huh, that's interesting.
I was looking through, and there's all of these plastic water bottles for sale from Fiji or whatever they're claiming, and they're maybe $3 or $4 for a little bottle of water, and I'm thinking, I can't afford this. I don't make enough money to afford to buy a bottled water, three times a day, or however much water I need to drink. Like, how are poor people getting enough water even in America, let alone in other countries?
Well, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Go on, please.
I think you're raising a very important point, the value of water, the significance of water to life on Earth. And, of course, one of the great ironies of the times in which we live is, for example, fracking, which is a way to produce cheap oil and natural gas, involves the destruction of aquifers and of water supplies. And one of the deepest ironies of that is we will end up with with fuel, but in many places with no clean water to feed our animals, to feed ourselves, to feed the plant life. And I see that as an example of the short-term gain and the long-term loss, and I think it's a very important one. The other aspect of that is, of course, companies like Nestle are privatizing all over the world natural water supplies so they can bottle it in the very plastic bottles you're talking about and then sell it to us. And I think that there's really an important lesson in all of that. And I do want to thank you. I think your point about water is very important.
Right. And just one last thing is that it just breaks my heart to see this effect of plastic on the sea life. And mm-hmm. I read an article about a whale that washed up on shore with a belly full of plastic the other day, and it died.
Yes.
And I think that that's just, if anything is a message to us, that is, like, screaming. So...
No, I think you're right, and I began the show by reading a little piece out of an Australian newspaper describing the dead, literally dead sea at the center of our Pacific Ocean, and the fact that the way humans are fishing the oceans is totally unecological. The demand for tuna all over the world, but particularly in Japan, produces huge amounts of waste, what they call waste fish, which are all the other things, which are then killed because they're left off out of the water and then dumped back into the sea, and that the sea itself in many, many thousands of miles seems to be dead, which is quite a shock.
Yes, it's heartbreaking, and the shark situation is terrible too right now. They're killing so many sharks that there's nothing to eat the seals, and then the seals are overfeeding on the fish. So it's really a chain reaction, and it's something that needs to be monitored with intelligence rather than with greed.
No, you're absolutely right, and I thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I have to read these. Well, I don't have to, but I'm going to read these important morning announcements at 9 on Alternative Radio. Economist and author Richard Wolff, who I regard very highly, speaks on naked capitalism, and that is a weird kind of pornography. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features coverage of a community gathering in Santa Rosa, California, to remember the death of 13-year-old Andy Lopez. The unarmed teen was shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy. You remember this case. He had a toy gun. Somehow the little fluorescent thing on the tip of it had been taken off, and he was blown away. At 11, on stage and studio, host D-May Roberts talks with two Portland actors, Danny Bruno and Mary McDonald Lewis, who have had recurring roles on the hit TV show Grimm that is filmed in Portland. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Camden Murray of the Timber Army about the TIFO display at Portland Timbers soccer matches. The TIFO displays use large banners, streamers, flares, or other visuals to inspire the fans' chosen professional soccer team. I will not comment on that. Thanks, KBOA members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. And please remember, 83% of our monies come directly from you, and we cannot exist without your help. Thank you very much. Again, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, 231-8187. We're talking about environmental issues, and I'm asking for women callers only. Who do we have?
We have Sharon.
Sharon, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm very pleased that you're inviting women to speak. I think it's very important. And I know you were talking about, I think, the difference between rationality and such, and in listening to what the women have to say, in a general way, we often are coming from a broader kind of perspective, so you hear things about spirituality and things like that. And I think because of the direness of the issues that we are facing, that it's very easy to just look at the individual things and try to figure out how to do them. But, you know, you spoke about the Earth being at this particular point because of the behavior of human beings. But I think that thought precedes behavior, and what we have is, so I am going to be speaking in more of the airy-fairy kind of
okay.
You know, ways. And I'm saying that before somebody else does, because I understand the difference, and I can speak individually about the problems and solutions, but I think the world is very yanged out, and I think we haven't spoken about patriarchy and patriarchal thought and how it permeates all of our, I mean, women too, behavior, culture, and the way, and then behavior that goes from that. So yes, the Earth is feminine, and what we see happening to the Earth is what we also see happening to women, and so the shift, I think, really has to be an internal shift first before we can really see it. And I think this tendency to see the trees instead of the forest is problematic, and looks, and you know, we'll go chasing our tail forever trying to fix this, that, and the other thing. When we have a change of consciousness and really embrace the feminine alongside the masculine culturally in every way, in our interpersonal relationships, that the other things will no longer even become conceivable. You know, if the female energy is honored truly, the behavior that comes from the way we treat the Earth and the way we look at short-term gain is all going to shift. And so, I think it's a crisis of spirituality too, and values, and I think people are lost and don't know where to go. And I think we need to go inward, and that will shift the behavior. And maybe, you know, maybe we're not going to make it this time. Maybe this experiment of humanity won't work. But until we value every life form equally and honor it instead of the dominator kind of thinking, I think, you know, we could just try a new planet it's going to go the same way until we can make that internal shift.
I really appreciate your comments, and I thank you for them.
Yes, you're welcome. And I want to thank you because I think what you're doing is important and inviting women. Yay for you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. This is Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 your FM dial. Sadly, maybe, uniquely, we're inviting women only to call and talk to us. The issues are environmental issues, ecological issues, and the perspectives are predictably, I guess, I don't want to talk about stereotypes, but predictably very different than the comments we generally get, which are hardcore political positions, usually from the left, occasionally from the right. So I really am glad you're all calling, and I hope you'll keep it up. 231-8187 is the number to call. And who do we have? Marianne, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing this, too. It's really interesting, a very different sort of tone.
Very different.
Yeah. So I have a couple of things to say.
Sure. Go for it.
About climate change, particularly. I really, it bothers me the way the conversation is going, because from what I understand about the science, if we really listen to the scientists, and it's common sense to... this is not going to be fixed anytime in our lifetimes. You know?
Probably not, but maybe.
Well, no, it's definitely not going to be fixed.
Okay.
It's going to take about 300 years to reverse, even if we stopped immediately putting all the carbon in the environment. And I don't expect to live that long. I don't know about you.
No, I don't think I got 300 years in me.
Yeah. So, you know, really, but we, I mean, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren may thank us, but... probably not, because people don't remember that long. It makes me angry because I feel like those of us who are older are probably not going to see the worst of this. So we can continue living in this little fantasy world of thinking if we all just put solar panels on our roof and biodiesel in our gasoline tanks, everything will be fine.
Well, it'll help.
It'll help, yeah, but this is not going to be fixed in 10 or 15 years. It's not going to be. You know, and what we need to do, what humanity needs to do, is just face that fact and stop running away from it and adjust to the changes.
So you want to see a paradigm change that's more profound than simply the common solutions of wind power and solar power and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to fix everything, and we can keep thinking that for another 10 or 15, 20 years until, you know, by which time I probably will be gone. But these younger generations are going to have to deal with this stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and it's not that easy, you know. I mean, just this whole culture, particularly this country, I think, is just in this mentality where we want quick fixes for things, and this is not a quick fix thing.
Well, I think you're right, and I'm going to fight the what Catholics call the sin of despair in what you present, but I do appreciate your insight on that.
Well, yeah, it's not despair, it's reality. You know?
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Right. But the other thing I would like to say is that I would not idealize women. Women are capable of violence. We just do it in a different way. It's more subtle.
Okay.
I mean, there is a need for balance, I admit. Been out of balance. There's been a need for balance. And I do like several women have said it requires a spiritual approach, and, you know, so I'm not denying that. And
okay.
I'm glad you did. So another possibility of bringing women in more frequently, I don't like to talk on the radio myself, but would be if you're getting too many men callers, you know, halfway through the show, just say only women callers from now on so you can get a balance.
I could do that. I think that's an interesting idea. I'll talk with Abe about it and see how often we can do it and how it'll work.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having the show.
Sure.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. We're talking about ecology and the environment, and I have invited only women to call today. It's unique. Relatively unique to the show, and we're getting a very different set of perspectives. I don't know if it's because the women who call at this point are very aware of that difference, or just that's the way the women are. I don't know. I want to hear from you. Why don't you give me a call? Who do we have next?
Holly.
Holly, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hiya.
On a practical level,
okay.
I'm wondering how to oppose corporate rule exemplified by things like fracking. without ending up in jail or prison for a long period of time. Seems like over the years we've seen people that I would consider to be eco warriors get labeled as eco terrorists and end up with 20-year prison sentences. But then I think, well, there's Bill McKibben's group out there, 360.org.
Yeah, in fact, he just Yeah, well, he just put out a piece pointing out that the heating up of the oceans is the occasion for this horrendous, monstrous storm that just whacked the Philippines. So, you know, there is knowledge being circulated. The problem is to get it out to more people. That's a challenge in and of itself. And then there's the activist approaches, which vary. We've seen what happened to the Greenpeace people in their effort to get the Russians to reconsider drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic. So we know there are real costs to the real fight. But there's also the public awareness aspect and the possibilities within democracies of changing things. Green parties and so on are cropping up all over Europe. And it's still possible for us as a nation to turn it around, I think.
Okay. I'm glad you think so.
Well, it's good I think so, but maybe it's true.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot for the call. 231-8187 is the number to call on KBOO. We're talking about ecology and the environment. And I've invited women only to call today just as an experiment, and more than an experiment, as an opportunity for women's voices to be heard more on talk radio. Who do we have? Laura, you're on the air. Laura? Laura, turn your radio down if you want to talk with us. I think we're going to have to go on to another caller. Sherelle, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Good to hear from the women, and thank you for the opportunity. It is something, though, that we women, we don't have to thank you because you're open to it, but for us to have access to stating our opinion on things, we almost have to apologize as we come in the door because we might have some kind of strike coming in return. That's what it's like to live as a woman on this planet, is retaliation, reprisal, whether it's physical, mental, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do start to acknowledge that women exist and they have a right to be here, things will get better. But the other thing is that we, as we embrace the whole person, men have a right to tenderness, and men can be very beautiful, very tender. In fact, the whole heart within each person, male and female, is beautiful, and men are denied and deprived of many things. And I wish to just say I recognize the beauty of the honorable, loving, nurturant male spirit, which I see in much abundance with many fathers who are so good to their children and happy to be with their children. And I'm thinking about starting kind of like a Mother Earth gathering where, to begin with, we just start to be more of a comfort to one another, because number one, that's what Mother Earth is. She is our comfort, and she is in distress, but she is also mighty, and she is fierce, as are women. And we just need to allow the whole being to start living and be happy. And also, we have to also be the people that don't want everything. And we shall become a community of beauty, and in that we will have a little bit of influence, but we'll just do what we can, and we'll do the best that we can, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. It's a nice closing, and I really appreciate it. I think the experiment of today was a good one, and let's do it more often. Thanks a lot. Folks, stay tuned to KBOO. It's always good programming, and you need us, and we need you. So stick with us, and we'll give you the truth. Thank you.
It's coming. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University, with five-part MBA programs that combine classic business skills with an emphasis on creative thinking, ethical decision-making, and sound judgment, the hallmarks of a liberal arts perspective. December 5th evening information session, details at merrillhurst.edu.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to join the Native American Appreciation Club and Mecha Club in co-sponsoring the First University of Portland Powwow, Saturday, November 16th at 1 p.m. Everyone is welcome to come celebrate and honor Native American Heritage Month. There will be traditional Native and Aztec dancers, singers, drummers, vendors, and more. That's the First University of Portland Powwow to take place at the Child Center, 5000 Willamette Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found on the right-hand side of KBOO.FM under Community Events.
Hi, I'm Joanne Hardesty. Join me on November 14th for a stimulating conversation on Voices from the Edge. I will be interviewing John Nichols and Robert McChesney, co-authors of Dollarocracy, a new book on how the money and media election complex is destroying America. Join us from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on November 14th on Voices from the Edge.
This is KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 9.02 a.m. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, economist and author Richard Wolff speaks on naked capitalism. At 10 here, Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10.15 on Flashpoints, fighting for justice for Andy Lopez, who was shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy.